And let's all stand and let's go to Jeremiah chapter 28. And in order to understand Jeremiah 28, you kind of need to know a little bit about what happened in Jeremiah 27. And we haven't covered Jeremiah 27 yet. I kind of skipped ahead. In Jeremiah 27, God tells Jeremiah to build a wooden yoke, like you put around an ox, and you put it around his neck. And you know, if you were a prophet, you would feel a little odd, you know, walking into Jerusalem with this yoke around your neck. But he told him, take this and tell the children of Israel that this yoke is going to be King Nebuchadnezzar in the Babylonian Empire. And that if you will submit to him, I'm using him to correct you. I'm using him to bring you to repentance. And if you will submit to him, everything will be okay. I will protect you. Nobody dies. Nobody. I'll bring you all back into your land. But if you rebel against this, then Jerusalem's going to get wiped out. Temple's going to get destroyed. All. And so, in Jeremiah, so imagine Jeremiah is walking around with this yoke on his neck. And now let's start reading in verse number 1, and we're going to read all 17 verses. And in fact, is there somebody here that would like to read the first 9 verses? Sister Pamela, I want you to read the first 9 verses. And then you can hand it to who's going to read the next 8 verses. Okay, there we go. You just, either Ruth, either you come up and get it, or Pamela, you take it back. But go ahead and read that, Sister Pamela.
In that same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 5th month of the 4th year, Hananiah, the son of Asher, the prophet of Gideon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon.
Before we go to verse 2, I want everybody to notice what month of the year it is. What month of the year was it?
Yes.
Who here is going to remember 5th floor? Who's going to remember 5th? Sister Eunice? It's all on your shoulders. This is the 5th month. Okay. Let's go on to verse 3.
Within 2 years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. I will also bring back to this place
the son of Jehoiakim,
king of Judah, and all the exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, thus the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to
Hananiah,
the prophet, in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true, and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. Yet hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophet will receive it, and you and me from ancient times prophesied war of
famine
and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet.
Very, very well done. Very, very well. Now, Ruth, why don't you just go ahead and take up in verse number 10 and start reading.
Then the prophet Hananiah took the oak, bars from the neck of Jeremiah the prophet, and broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus says the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations from 2 years. But Jeremiah the prophet went his way. Sometime after the prophet Hananiah had broken the yoke bars from off the neck of Jeremiah the prophet, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Go, tell Hananiah, thus says the Lord. You have broken wooden bars, but you have made in their place bars of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put upon the neck of all these nations an iron yoke to serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. For I have given to him even the beasts of the field. And Jeremiah the prophet said to the prophet Hananiah, Listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, and you have made this people trust in a lie.
I like the way in verse 15 Jeremiah speaks in a pretty straight tone. Listen, Hananiah. He just says that. Listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you. Go on, please, verse 16.
Therefore, thus says the Lord, Behold, I will remove you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die, because you have uttered rebellion against the Lord. In that same year, in the seventh month, the prophet Hananiah died.
Wow. That's kind of ominous a little bit there. Didn't these girls do a good job of reading it? Very well done. And so I want to preach on this theme here. And this... really might sound like a silly title, but it really is very representative of what this chapter is about. I want to preach on prophet versus prophet. Prophet versus prophet. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful for your word. And we pray that your word is going to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, oh God. Help us, Lord, to know and to understand and put your word in our minds and deep down in our hearts, God. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So it says in verse 1 here, and by the way, in my mind I had prophet versus prophet. I had two fighters. And then Carl picked this background. And all the way to church, I wonder what background Carl or Bill, one of them, I wonder what they're going to pick for this. And you can see that that's of their design, and it was good, and it was very good. But it says in verse 1, in the same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fifth month of the fourth year, Hananiah the son of Asser, the prophet from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord in the presence of the priests and all the people. And let me just say that like Jeremiah, Hananiah was also, he was born and raised in an area, in a town, Gibeon was not too far from where Jeremiah was born and raised, and was about 6 miles northwest of Jerusalem. And here's the thing that you got to understand about Hananiah. Hananiah. The thing that you need to understand about Hananiah was that that was a very common name in Israel. In fact, there's 12, more than, it's either 12 or more than 12 people in the Bible have the name Hananiah. So in the ancient Hebrew world, it was like Joe. Okay? It was like Joe or John. It was a very, very common name. And what Hananiah meant in Hebrew, it meant the Lord has been gracious. The Lord has been gracious. So his name conveyed the meaning that God was gracious. And let me just say that there's a time to preach grace. But if you look at what was going on in Jerusalem, at the moment, the message that Jeremiah was preaching was not grace so much as it was repentance. And as you listen to Hananiah's prophecy, and we're going to go over it here, you're going to see that there is a message of the graciousness of God, but there was no message of repentance. And you know what? You can't have graciousness of God without repentance. You know what I'm saying? That you can't have one without the other. If people want to experience the grace of God, they can. But you cannot have grace without repentance. Okay? And but he was preaching a message that a lot of people would love to hear.
Right.
Because what had happened is Nebuchadnezzar had came through on that first campaign, and he had taken Daniel and some of the royal household out away. He had gone into the temple and taken a bunch, not all, but a bunch of the cups and the goblets and tools and stuff of the instruments of the temple. He had taken those. And so here, you know, people in Jerusalem was like, man, what's going to happen? And rather than standing up and telling them, listen, you need to repent. This is happening because of what, that you've fallen away from God. All that Hananiah wanted to do was to get up and to preach about the graciousness of God, that God's going to bring everything back, that God's going to restore everything, that victory is right around the corner. And this reminds me of a verse that Paul wrote to Timothy, the last letter that Paul ever wrote, when he was incarcerated, waiting, as morbid as this sounds, waiting to be executed. He wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he told Timothy, "There, the time is coming when people are not going to endure sound teaching," or sound doctrine, as the King James says, "but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." In other words, I'm sure that people around Jerusalem would have been much more receptive of Hananiah's message than Jeremiah's. Because Hananiah was preaching the graciousness, the grace of God, and this is all going to turn around. And Jeremiah was preaching, listen, this isn't going to turn around until we as a people repent before God.
Right.
And then in verse 2, Hananiah says this, "Thus says the Lord." So he is saying, he is claiming divine authority for his false prophecy. He is saying, God told me to say this. And then if you look, now you're going to connect the dots just a little bit here. What happened in the previous chapter, chapter 27? What, does anybody remember I explained it? What happened in 27? God had Jeremiah build a wooden yoke like you put on an oxen, and put it around his neck. So Jeremiah prophesied, and he told him, listen, the Babylonians are going to be a yoke around your neck. If you will submit to them, because they're actually a tool in my hands to humble you, and if you will humble them, set yourself before them, none of you are going to die. Everything will be fine. You're going to be punished for a while, but then I'm going to bring everybody back into their land. And here, but he had that yoke on. And so you notice that I call this prophet versus prophet, because Hananiah is in direct opposition to Jeremiah. He specifically talks about a yoke here. And he says, "I have broken, thus says the Lord, I have broken the yoke." In other words, you see that yoke over there that Jeremiah is wearing? Well, you can disregard it, folks, because the Lord says that he has broken that yoke. And Jeremiah had said, let me go to Jeremiah 27:2. He said, God had told him, make yourself straps and yoke bars and put them on your neck. And then he tells him that, you know, if any nation will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, and puts its neck under the, will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, I will punish that nation with the sword, with famine, with pestilence. So now let's go down to verse 3 and verse 4. Here's some more of Hananiah's prophecy. I'm going to tell you something. He would have given you hope now. He would have given you hope. He was going to tell you your victory's right around the corner, sister. Your blessing is on its way tonight. Have you ever heard that stuff? Oh, your blessing's right here. Got to get it tonight. You don't want to build false hope in people. You don't want to build false hope in people. And here's Hananiah's message. Within 2 years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's household, all those vessels that got taken out of the temple of Solomon. I'm going to bring them all back. And then in verse 4, he says, I will also bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Let me tell you what had happened there. Nebuchadnezzar had taken Jeconiah captive and put him in Babylon. And he took his son and Zedekiah, and Nebuchadnezzar told Zedekiah, you're going to be the king, and you're just going to be a puppet. You're going to be like a ventriloquist, man. You're going to do, and you're going to say what I tell you to say. And they... And here is what Jeremiah had said in chapter 22. Verse 26, he says, I will hurl you, speaking to Jeconiah, I will hurl you and the mother who bore you into another country where you were not born, and there shall you die. The land to which they will long to return, there they shall never return. So he told them, listen, Jeconiah, you are never going, you're going to die in Babylon. Right. You're going to get taken out of Jerusalem, and you're never going to come back. But now you notice, Hananiah, what's he saying? 2 years. 2 years it's going to happen. 2 years, you know what? In 2 years, Jeconiah is going to be back on the throne. All of those vessels are going to be back in the temple. And everything is going to be great. And then let's go to verse 6. And let's see what Jeremiah said. What Jeremiah's response to that was. Jeremiah, and some of you, maybe if this was a Wednesday night, we'd have a round table. And I would ask you your opinion of what Jeremiah was trying to say. Because Jeremiah sits there and very calmly listens to Hananiah prophesy the exact opposite from what Jeremiah had prophesied. And Jeremiah had told them, the Lord spoke to me. I'm a prophet. God's called me to be a prophet. This guy is saying, No. The Lord spoke to me. Brian, who are you going to pick? Well, I mean, hindsight's 20-20. It's pretty easy to know now. Here's what Jeremiah said. Amen! when Hananiah got done prophesying, instead of saying, man, you're wrong, you're a false prophet, you're lying, he just says, amen! May the Lord do so, and may the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true. Some scholars think, and you guys can decide, some scholars think, Brother Brian, that he was being a smart aleck. There's one in every crowd. There's one in every crowd. And some scholars think that Jeremiah said it more like this. Oh, amen. You know, bravo. Good man. Some believe that that's what Jeremiah. Let's do it. Others believe this. Others believe that, and I don't necessarily sign on to this, but I want to give you guys, you know, all your options here. That Hananiah sounded so good, and that Hananiah sounded so convincing, and his voice was crackling so good over that microphone, that it even made Jeremiah doubt if he, and he's thinking, oh man, okay, I said this, but man, this guy said just the opposite, and it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Can I give you the TRW commentary? The Timothy Raymond Wiggins commentary? It's not been published yet. Not been published yet. The Timothy Raymond commentary is not really either one of those. The Timothy Raymond commentary says that Jeremiah was saying, Hananiah, I hope you're right.
Yes.
I sincerely, from the depth of my heart, I want you to be right. You're saying what my ears want to hear. You're saying what everybody wants to hear. But let me tell you something, though. Sometimes you need to hear not what you want to hear. You need to hear what you need to hear.
Right.
You need... Let me tell you something. If you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, man, you've got a bad condition, but you know what? I'll just tell him everything's fine. Is that doctor helping you? Here a few years ago, I went to my doctor. I'm not exaggerating. Me and him hooked We hooked up to the point that you could, if you were standing out in the hall, you could hear our voices. We had a major, I've had him ever since we've lived here in Oregon. I know him, he knows me, and we are just very plain with each other. And one of us said something the other disagreed with. Anyway, we were arguing, fussing over my health. And I'll tell you this much. As strongly as I disagreed with him, and as mad as he made me that day, he made me mad. But no, I was just mad. I would rather him do that than tell me, hey, everything's fine, when things aren't fine. You hear what I'm saying?
Right.
And I think Jeremiah was saying, Hananiah, I hope what you're saying is true. I hope what you're saying is true. But I just don't know.
Yes.
And then verse 7 and 8. Here's, if you can put it this way, if this was a true boxing match, Brother Carl, after you got this portrayed. Hananiah landed a good, strong right hand there. And here's Jeremiah's counterpunch to Hananiah's attack. Verse 7, he says, yet hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and the hearing of everybody else. The prophets who preceded you and me both prophesied war, famine, and pestilence. So in other words, listen, I'm not the only one that's been prophesying. There was a guy that predated me by about 180 years whose name was Isaiah, and he said the very same things and was trying to get Israel to repent. And right now, as we're having this little boxing match here, Hananiah, there's a guy over in Babylon living on the Kabar River by the name of Ezekiel. And you know what? He's saying the same thing that I'm saying. So I hope you're right. But I just want to tell you, I'm not the only one saying this. I'm not living in bubbles somewhere. Verse 10 and 11. If I can, I just want to make this story come alive to you where you can see what's going on here. This here is when things get out of hand, Brother Brian. This is when things get out of hand. It says, then the prophet Hananiah, you know, as though you're the prophet Hananiah, Robert, and you've got this yoke on your neck, okay? I didn't bring the yoke for you to wear. According to this verse, the altercation went from verbal to physical. And it says that he rushed on Jeremiah and broke that yoke off of his neck. And that's what happened. It says the prophet Hananiah took the yoke bars from the neck of Jeremiah and broke them. And now let me tell you this much. Jeremiah Brother Brian, I know Jeremiah. If I would have been sitting there with the yoke that I built, and Hananiah would have came up and just ripped it off me and broke it into pieces, what do you think I would have done? My flesh would have got a little out of control. Okay? I'll just be honest with you. My flesh would have been a little out of control. But it says here in verse number 11 that Jeremiah the prophet just went his way. In other words, there wasn't any strong reaction. There wasn't any strong response. Jeremiah is sitting there. He responds to Hananiah's false prophecy. Hananiah gets furious, runs over, grabs that yoke, jerks it off his neck, busts it into pieces. And again, if it was me, I would say, dude, you done messed up. But Jeremiah doesn't do that. Jeremiah just calmly got up and walked away. Why? Why? Because you'll notice when you read through the book of Jeremiah, every time Jeremiah spoke to people, it was when the Lord had told him what to say. In other words, Jeremiah wouldn't have done what Tim Wiggins would have done. Tim Wiggins would have said, Lord, don't worry about it. I'll take care of this myself. Jeremiah was like, no, God, you didn't tell me what to do. You didn't tell me what to say. So therefore, I'm just going to back away until you do tell me what to do. Until you do tell me what to say. And let me tell you something. That is the kind of self-restraint that a true prophet of God like Jeremiah needed to have. That he didn't do things of his own volition. He didn't do things based on his own emotions. He didn't do things based on his feelings. He did it when God told him something to do or something to say. Now, that was Hananiah's second attack. That first attack, and then there was the counter. Now let's look at Jeremiah's counter to that second attack where he broke the yoke. Verses 12 and 13. Sometime after, we don't know, a day, a week, 2 weeks, I don't know. But sometime after the prophet Hananiah had broken the yoke bars off the neck of Jeremiah, the prophet, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, go tell Hananiah, thus says the Lord, you've broken wooden bars, but you have made in their place bars of iron. In other words, let me tell you how much good you did, Hananiah. Before, the yoke was just going to be wood. Now, because of what you've done, your false prophecy have put people in a false sense of security, meaning they will not repent because they believe you. Now the yoke is not going to be wood. going to come behind. The oppression is going to be worse. The suffering is going to be greater. Hananiah, you gave the people a false sense of security, and this is what's happening. And then here is the punch. Again, this is a boxing match. This is the punch that kind of ended the fight. Verse 16 and verse 17. And then we're going to end on verse 15, but I want to go over 16 and 17 first. It says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold," this is Jeremiah talking to Hananiah, "behold, I will remove you from the face of the earth." It's one thing to get exiled out of Jerusalem over into Babylon. God says, listen, I'm not going to remove you from Jerusalem. I'm going to remove you from the entire earth. "This year you shall die because you've uttered rebellion against the Lord. In that same year, in the seventh month," and Sister Eunice, this is your, all eyes are upon you now. All eyes are upon you. I told you, you had to remember. I wish we had a house spotlight. I just shined it right on. Like an interrogation light. At the beginning of this chapter, they gave the date. And I said, somebody's got to remember the date. And you very promptly, there it is, Bill, yes. Bill shining the spotlight on. That's good, I like that. Oh, no pressure here, James. No pressure. No pressure. But in verse 1, they gave a date. And I said, somebody's got to remember that date, and Eunice, you raise your hand. What was the date? Without cheating and looking at the
fifth month.
And what month is it now? In verse 17.
Seventh.
2 months later. All of Israel, all of Jerusalem got to see who the true prophet was and who the false prophet was. This is just going through this chapter, verse by verse. And then the last, I'm going to end it with this here today. If we go back up to verse 15, this is going to be our takeaway. This is going to be what we're going to walk out of here saying, okay, this is what I learned today. Jeremiah the prophet said to the prophet Hananiah, "Listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you. And you have made this people trust a lie." Hananiah did not just deceive himself. He deceived others and made them stumble.
Right.
And you say, oh, but that was then. That was Old Testament times. Really? Really? You don't think that still happens? Let's read from the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. "Evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived."
Right.
Some other translations bring this out a lot clearer. Brother Johnson, what this is saying, and the King James uses the word seducer. While evil people and seducers, the Greek really comes down a little closer to the word imposters, in my opinion. Evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving others and themselves being deceived.
Right.
Can I tell you, there's two kinds of false teachers. Okay. Now I got about 5 minutes and I'm done. Two kinds of false teachers. One kind of false teacher is false. He knows he's false. And he's just going to ride this wave until it's gone. That kind of false teachers are common. Brother Johnson, there was this television evangelist years ago, that he could call you out of the crowd. And he'd say, William Johnson, and name your address. And you're suffering, you're suffering from a thyroid condition. God, and everybody would just be blown away. And man, when that offering plate gave around, I mean, they were. But there was one guy, his first name was James, I'm not going to say his last name. He's a little skeptical. And he went in there with a high frequency radio and started scanning frequencies. And all of a sudden, he found a radio frequency. This guy's name, this television evangelist's name is Peter Popoff. And I don't know if anybody remembers him. And Brother William, this guy found this radio frequency, and it was Peter Popoff's wife. And this lady had filled out a prayer card when she came in with her name, her address, and what condition she was suffering from. And needed healing for. And she goes, PD, can you hear me? If you can, you're in lots of trouble. He had an earpiece hidden. She gave him the name, and he goes, knew the name. Your address. It's 455 South Winslow Street. And that lady said, you got a thyroid problem? God's just going to heal that right now. He was fake. I don't mean to sound ugly here. I'm sorry. Just trying to be clear. He was fake, and he knew he was fake. He was just riding the wave as long as it would go. But let me tell you, there's a false teacher. This was a true man of God against a false man of God. Prophet versus prophet. That's the name of this message. Can I tell you, Brother William, there is a type of false teacher that's even more dangerous than that. The one that is fake and he knows he's fake, they're bad, don't get me wrong. But the one that's really bad is the one that himself is under deception. He's drank his own Kool-Aid. And he believes what he is saying and that what he is doing is correct. And he can be passionate about it because he believes it himself. That's what Paul talked about when he says that evil people and imposters or seducers will go from bad to worse, deceiving and even being deceived themselves.
Right.
You say, well then, Brother Wiggins, what in the world is the answer? How can I know? How can I discern? How can I have that discernment? I think Paul told Timothy what to do in the following verses. We just got done reading 2 Timothy 3:13, where it says, evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Then in verse 14, he says this, and you can all stand. You want to guard yourself against deception. It says, but as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it, and how from a child you've been acquainted with what? The sacred writings or the holy scripture. Which are able to make you what?
Wise.
I said it before, I'll say it again. Everything rises and falls. I would so strongly recommend to him, if you want to hear God talk, read your Bible. If you want to hear God speak in an audible voice, read your Bible out loud. It'll never steer you wrong. It'll never steer you wrong. It's a safe foundation. It says, from a child, you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise. And then verse 16, Timothy, all scripture. And this is literally word for word here by the Greek. Breathed out by God. That's literally, if you look in the Greek, that's what it says. In the Greek, it says, all scripture is God breathed.
Yes.
All scripture is breathed out by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Timothy, if you can just trust the scripture, lean on the scripture, and not some hotshot voice that's here today and gone tomorrow. Let your foundation be the scripture. And love. I didn't have it in my notes, so Carl, don't even worry about putting it on the screen, but if you look at this verse, in King James it says this, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for instruction, or what is here, it's profitable for somebody helping. All scripture is given, there you go. All scriptures, well, this is ESV. If I say it fast, I can do it. All scripture is the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, instruction, correction, and righteousness. But the next verse is what I want. That the man of God might be thoroughly furnished. All scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. There it is. I got it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished. If you make your scripture your foundation, you're not going to go shoot that. A lot of voices saying this and saying that and saying the other. Oh God, let me get my mind focused on your word. Let your word be the lamp under my feet and the light under my path. Let your word be my inspiration. Let's worship the Lord today. God, I thank you, Lord. God, I thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Let's get there. I'm not far from you. Jesus.
How we sing, how we sing.
God in God's word. I'm thankful for this, for the scripture.